The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire anymore, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they asked him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. May be seated. Who are you? Who are you? That's a question that seems so ordinary, and you get asked countless times in your life, and it often doesn't require a great deal of thought. It seems so innocuous. And where things get warped and complicated is when you forget the answer to that question doesn't exist fundamentally in yourself. Rather, it's something which has been revealed and given to you. Now, just think about that for a second at a basic level. Your name was given to you by your parents. Now, when I was in elementary school, I wasn't always a fan of the name Boyd, but every first day of school, it was brought up as the class roster was read. I didn't choose that name. It wasn't my decision. That's the name my parents gave me. And if you take issue with it right now, then my parents are sitting right there. You can take that up with them afterwards. And over time, though, I came to a different view and appreciate that name and what it means. And especially then, too, you know my son, his name is Boyd as well. He didn't choose it. I, as his father, and Rebecca, with me as his mother, gave him that name. That's who he is. And all of this goes along with what you heard a few minutes ago in the gospel reading. St. John the Evangelist recorded this scene with John the Baptist, and he wrote, "This is the testimony," or that word there, the martyr, the martyria, "of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" Now, one thing that's an important part of this that may get missed or overlooked is how this discussion happens with John the Baptist. Now, typically, when someone asks a question in the Gospels, the response to the question is, "He answered." The word "answer" is used. They asked him, he answered. But here in the Gospel reading today, that's not the case. John confessed. They asked him a question, and John confessed. Because that Greek word entails something different than simply just "answer." The Greek word for confess in its most literal sense means to say or speak the same thing. And this word is used in connection with someone who has been given a message to say from someone else and then says what he has been given to say. Now, in the church, we use this concept and this word in primarily two ways. The first is, a few minutes ago, we did what? We confessed our sins. God's law reveals to you that you have sinned against him. And what do? You say back and confess that you have sinned against the Lord. You don't determine what is sinful or what is not sinful. God does. And the confession of sin then acknowledges this truth about what God reveals. The second way confess is used is when you confess the faith. The Christian faith has been given to you, and God places it on your lips. So when you confess the faith, you're saying back what God has revealed in the scriptures. So just as you don't determine what sin is or what sin is not, you don't determine what the Christian faith is or is not. So for example, St. Peter in Matthew 16 confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus told him that flesh and blood had not revealed this to him, but rather it was his Father in heaven. So both of those meanings then, confess your sin and confess the faith, they're outside of yourself. Even when you confess your faith, you're speaking of something that has been given to you and does not have its source and substance in you as an individual. Your confession speaks what God has said and revealed to you and given to you the faith to know and trust this as your own. Now, this may seem a bit academic, or maybe, yeah, well, of course, Pastor, and true enough, but the significance of this is very practical. For John, this meant the answer to the question asked of him, which in turn would drive the rest of the whole discussion of who are you, wasn't up to him. Listen again to what we heard in the reading. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." So God revealed to John who he was, and he confessed, he gave answer according. Now in this confession, he was being faithful to God's word and had confidence to stand before these men, men who were sent to try to trap him, to try to find some reason or whatever, who would later want Jesus dead. But this was his testimony, his witness, his martyria, his martyr. To know what God says about you means everything. And in faith, you confess it before God and men. So John didn't decide who he was. It wasn't up to him. His identity was given to him along with his task and purpose. God spoke through the prophets, pointing to his person and office. John was the voice. He was the voice crying out in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. He called people to repentance. That's what he was called by God to do. He wasn't the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. John was faithful in his words. He confessed the faith as he was told, and he wasn't, and then would tell of and point to the Lord. This is what a faithful confession of Jesus does. It rejects error and proclaims what is true. John was doing this in the reading. Even if he would have said yes to the question, if he would have said, they would have come to him and they said, "Are you the Christ?" And he went, "You know what? Look at all these people. I could easily say this and then they would follow me and maybe I would have a better opportunity to listen to them. And then later I get to say, you know what, guys? Actually, it's this guy who's coming because he's really coming after me." No, it wouldn't have made it true. He doesn't dictate that. It would have just made either John or God a liar. And it's no different when it comes to many other things in life. You can't be something or someone you are not. And who you are is created by God and proclaimed by him. It goes back to God as the creator. He is the one who creates life. He is the one who shows what this life is created to be. The days of creation saw the various things of the universe come into being, which we still see these things around us today. We see animals, trees, oceans, land, sky, and so many other parts of creation. They have their source in the Lord who spoke them into being out of nothing. He gave different kinds and an orderliness to all of this creation. And then finally, the pinnacle of creation was man. And God created Adam, and from Adam, God created woman, Eve. Now think about this for yourself. You're not standing on the banks of the Jordan River with a group of people sent to interrogate you, but the question is still asked of you in your life in various ways. Who are you? Well, the answer to that question doesn't reside in yourself. Fundamentally, you don't define who you are. That's not yours to do. Sure, there are certain things where you do have a freedom, like which sports teams to like. I guess, unless your family would turn against you if you turned for a certain sports team, but you get the point. What cars and any number of those things. But look at the lengths you're tempted to do this in your lives and in so many ways. How is it that you define who you are? The temptation is very real and strong to define yourself by your desires, your wants, and what others may tell you is very real around you. This is the prevailing thought in the world today. Just listen and think about how people speak about themselves and how they live this out. It's in vogue today for people to define themselves by their sin, which is really nothing new, though. What a trick the devil has played on the world, and shame on us when we believe the lie. God warned us of this through the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." Again, in 2 Timothy, he said, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, who will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." That is the testimony or witness of the devil, the world, and our fallen flesh. So when confronted with God's revealing in a general way in creation, we had that in the intro, the heavens declare the glory of God in this general way, and in a divine and saving way with the scriptures, rather than confessing what God says, all of those sources which try to lead us into sin and away from God do not confess, but deny. Because these things find their identity in all sorts of ungodliness. So think about that. Think of the absolute absurdity that we see all around us nowadays. You can think of countless examples. A man thinking he's a woman, or a woman thinking he's a man. These basic things of our identity, of who we are as creatures of God, have been totally thrown upside down. Who you are becomes, who do I think I am at the present time? And then to add insult to injury, we want to bring God into the mix and claim that he is the source of our sinful lives, saying, "Well, God made me this way." But God is never the source of sin. And God cannot be mocked. All these things are attempts to try and save ourselves apart from Christ. And they're evidence of sin and unbelief. And so God calls his people to turn from that thinking which is idolatrous. In Ephesians, he says, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints." So who are you? Well, don't even listen to those things to be named among your lips, on your lips. That's not the identity of saints. Listen to God's word. Don't even borrow the language that tries to redefine terms and concepts. Don't buy into those lies. It goes even just beyond the two sexes, but other aspects of the world and reality. No, your identity and who you are is far more important. Far more is at stake. John the Baptist knew who he was because he listened to the words of God. The word of God is preached to you today as well and calls you to be faithful and to confess Christ and his word faithfully. Now, God hasn't called you to be John the Baptist or even a preacher of the word, but the Holy Spirit has given you a faith that confesses him before God and men. And God does call you to be a voice in this world where the Lord has placed you in your various vocations, to be salt and light, to be as the church, a city set on a hill. And it may sound like at times you are crying out in the wilderness of the world, your friends, or even your own family. Yet the Lord still calls you to be faithful before all people. Jesus said, "So everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is why you must be students of God's word. See to it that the word of God dwells in you richly. Read the scriptures, study them daily, listen to them. Be praying to God every day for wisdom according to his word and a courage to be faithfully confessing him in your words and your life. And so the Christian church is at a point in history, which she has been, where the world is not friendly to our confession. You are going to get asked increasingly. Our kids are going to get asked increasingly, who are you? Or perhaps this might be worded more along the lines of, what do you believe? Which for the Christian, really, that's the same question. Know, too, that God also attaches something to this word that you have and which is confessed in the world. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed for the thing for which I sent it. God's word is active in your life, creating this faith, sustaining it, and working this confession, and it even works in the lives of others around us as we put this word of God on our lips. John the Baptist was a great saint whose life serves as an example for you. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And later he said, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. John the Baptizer, who we heard last week, there was no one born of woman greater than John the Baptist, is the one who prophesied throughout the scriptures, such as in the Old Testament reading today, the Lord your God will, that one was coming, that from among your brothers, from among you, it is to him you shall listen. John was pointing them to this one, that not even he was unworthy to untie his sandals. Right after our reading is where John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I'm convinced that this text, when he says, from among you stands, that Jesus is standing on the banks of the Jordan, even there, listening to this conversation. And then the next point, he then points him out. So although he was unworthy to untie the strap of the sandals, this one who came along, long foretold, came with redemption. This one, his identity was spoken of through the word and produced hope and what would come about when he stepped into the world. This one, he came with grace and mercy to save, and so he did. Because Jesus is the Christ. He is all of those names you just sang in the great O antiphons included in that hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. So as a Christian, you do not cling to your sin and have that identify you. No, confessing your sin, you place it on to Christ. And what does his word say? I forgive you. He covers you, and you are now a new creation who wants nothing to do with what is contrary to God. You rejoice instead in what the Lord gives. You rejoice in what the Lord speaks. For God makes you his own. He calls you his own. You are his own. And you see, as we gather on this last Sunday of Advent, and every day, that's who you are. God showers down upon you what Jesus has done for you. You are known by God on account of Jesus. Behold this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, your sin. Who are you? You are sons and daughters of the King, who is the Lamb of God, pure and holy. You have been formed and knit together wonderfully in the wombs of your mothers. You have been born into this world as a child, either as a little boy or a little girl. You have been given a name which sets you apart. You have been baptized into Christ, and the holy saving name of God has been placed upon you. Your sin has been washed away. You were rescued from death and the devil. You were given eternal salvation. You have been called by God to be children of your parents. For many of you, you've been called by God to either be a husband or a wife. If God has willed it even further, you have been called by God to be parents of your children. So the answer to who you are, who are you, is one that keeps you going back to the Lord and his word and his faithfulness. And while there may be different vocations in the estates of the family and society, God tells you fundamentally and eternally who you are in your baptism. Who are you? You are a Christian. You are an heir of eternal life. You are the church of God. You are saints. You are people who you call God your Father because the Son has redeemed you by his blood. You are ones who fix your eyes on the one who never lies, who is always faithful in his promises, who guards and keeps you as his own. With St. Paul in Romans 3, you confess, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. God is no liar, and he says you are forgiven. He says you have eternal life, and you have the very thing for which he says. Looking to Jesus, the one who has promised, who has come, who is here now, and who is coming again, you see who you truly are, and it's to your salvation. And what a real and lasting identity this truly is, to be in Christ. God says through St. Paul in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the definition of your life, your identity. That's who you are for the sake of Jesus crucified for you. That's your baptismal identity. All those names of the old antiphons are what has covered you and belonged to you as you have been clothed with Christ. And as a Christian, who you are is one who has freedom to be really who you are, truly a freedom to live. This is the life that lives, as St. Paul wrote in the epistle reading, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the Lord keeps you in his care, and he will not let you fall. This is reason to rejoice in every and any circumstance and knowing who you are in Christ. And as a Christian, who you are is one who has a clear conscience before God, and which silences the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh. Because it's a freeing thing then to know what God thinks of you is dependent upon Christ, and that is never changing. John the Baptist had the confidence because he knew he wasn't the Christ, but the Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This Jesus is the resurrection and the life, so that when John was killed for his preaching, he went to his death as one who has eternal life. And your life is a real life that is eternal as well. Not even death can take away who you are as a Christian. Sin brings about slavery and death, but Christ comes with healing and brings new life. He breaks the bonds and chains of sin, death, and the devil by his perfect life, suffering, and death. And Jesus makes you a new creation, even as he will make all things new on the last day. This is the confession, too, that God has placed upon your lips as his people in this world. The last Sunday of Advent, God's people cry out, shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. With the same breath, you know that redemption has come in Jesus. He is your righteousness, who showers you with his grace, who covers you with the forgiveness of your sins, which is eternal life. So you go on. You press forward in this fallen world, knowing that the Lord is at hand, even as he is with you. You know the day is coming when who you are will be even more fully known, as all sin is gone, as death is no more, as the devil is forever in hell with his people and demonic crew. But until that day, you are still the Lord's, and he is still yours. Cling to his word, cling to your baptism, confess your sin, receive his absolution, feast at his supper, taking into your mouths his true body and blood given and shed for you. And in all of this, know with absolute certainty who God has called you to be. You are a Christian. Looking to Christ, there's no denying that. You are a saint, an heir of eternal life. Who are you? That's who you are, now and forever. Amen.